Go into your inner room. Okay, Brother Noble, will you listen to a word of prayer?
Center our thoughts on you and your word. The things that we learn there, help us to live them out and share them with others. We pray for each teacher that is teaching the class this morning, that you would bless them, that they might have a ready recollection of the things they would cite. We ask that you forgive us of our sins. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Noble. Good to see everybody here this morning. Good to see the visitors here. Always encouraging to have them stay around. We'll get to know you. And please want your comments when we go through parts of the lesson. Okay, the verse that's on the left side of Matthew 6 and 6. When you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What does that mean to you? That you can go to them in private? And when you go to them in private, is it easier to talk to them with a very open heart, unfiltered, so you can get your point across because you don't have the pressure of maybe someone judging you, so you can do it when you get your heart full, emptied out to our Lord. And if you read the verse before that, what does it talk about there in verse 5 of Matthew 6?
Hypocritical and showy.
Not be hypocritical, showy, and just to be known and have the power of being in front of everybody in almost like an entertainment type of way. That make sense? Right. But when you go to them in private, you don't have to worry about those feelings of that. All right, we're going to do the application that's on the left. Yes?
Also, with the God desires a relationship with you as an individual, and you as an individual should desire a relationship with God. And so you are precious in His sight. There is you're not looking at anyone else, a group, or anything like that. God looks at an individual, and when we pray, we are communing with Him just the way Adam and Eve in the garden, when He would walk with them in the cool of the evening and talk to them. And that's this closeness is what God desires.
Very good. And in a moment in the lesson on the right side, we'll talk more about what goes on in these relationships with God as we speak to Him and in our public prayer. In the second part, or the second one, application, how do we fulfill the instruction to go into the inner room and pray? Are we in fact passive or active in our obedient faith? How do we do this?
In a place where there are no distractions, and it is very active. If we're not active in our prayer, then we're not really praying very well for the Lord.
Okay. And there are times where we have something heavy on our heart, whether it may be a trial or just something going on in our life. We get closer to God because our pride is shrunk, our heart has become a little bit lowly, and you can speak to the Lord and you have a bigger trust in Him. So if your trust is not there, you're speaking to Him and asking for petitions on your behalf and others won't be as strong as sometime when we get kind of prideful and think we got it all made. Yes, ma'am.
Christ is our intercessor, and it says that even though we're just groaning, because like you say, we're hurting so bad, He knows and He intercedes for us, and that way we don't have to really, we can pour out everything we want to, but if we can't, we still, our prayers are heard.
And we bypass our own understanding and we go to whom? Our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we have shows trust that we have in Him. Or in them, if you don't look at it that way. Any others? Yes, sir.
If you're in your car driving by yourself, that's a closed room, too.
True.
And sometimes you need a prayer when you're driving in a car.
And also, I know when David Osteen spoke on prayer in our last meeting, one of the biggest things I got out of it, I don't know why I never thought of it, is going to your inner room and praying to Him and saying it out loud. There's something for me, it makes it more impactful, maybe more that I'm really speaking to Him instead of just privately saying it in my mind. I don't know if anybody feels that way. It just helped me. And there are certain, you may have a certain time, you may have a certain place to go. All those are great. And there's, for me, and I hope it doesn't sound strange, there's not a time I don't look up and if I just concentrate on the clouds and go, wow, He's up there. I feel connected at that time. I may not say a long prayer, but I may say just a gratitude or something like that. Just acknowledge that He's there and how great He is. Any other thoughts on that? And we're going to get more into those, and I know this is kind of, I do the application because I'm a big picture type person. We'll get down to the more details in a moment. Hey, discuss what we should be praying about in private. Anything that troubles you?
We should start out like the lesson that we had not very long ago, that we glorify God, we give Him praise, we give Him honor with our words, and then we go into, you do it how you want to, but we definitely do that.
Do what? She asked for guidance. You might, this will get maybe repeated in a moment, almost like you can practice on how great God is and find different and more ways that makes more sense to you and how great and powerful and how we're here and He's way up here. Because that's a hard concept. When we're humans, want everything and by numbers and stuff like that. Yes.
Body's different. So, you know, there won't be, shouldn't be one set way to approach God.
True.
As long as your heart is right, God wants you to approach Him. He loves you as His child. So everyone would have their own way in presentation and points to cover and such like that. Whether it's concerns you have or just being thankful for the new day that we're living today.
And hopefully by the end of class, we'll all share our different ways and we can learn from each other. Yes, Scott.
You know, we rely on God for everything. We give Him glory, honor. We give Him thanks. And we know that He's there for us when we need Him. Through prayer is how we reach Him. You know, when we talk about this inner room, I think sometimes that inner room in today's day and age is hard to get to because of distractions in our lives. And going to that inner room, you need to be totally just focused and concentrated. Just try to block that outside world as best you can.
And everyone has their own way. Yeah, yeah. Yes, you're right. I mean, and I'm not trying to say you have to do it this way. I'm just saying we can help each other by looking for different ways and different meanings of prayer. Yes?
We usually know our weak points. So this time that we spend with God in private, we should confess our weak points and ask for His direction and help to overcome them.
Very good.
Pray for opportunities to reach others, and then the courage to step up to those opportunities, and the wisdom to have the right things to do.
Right.
And I'm sure we've all been presented with something, and you don't know how to really approach it. If you wait and go into prayer, there's something about trusted in Him and going to prayer that gives you, I don't know, the insight, the wisdom, the timing, the ways to approach whatever the problem is. And a lot of times, if you tag that on to prayer, boy, it's really come to a growth of what you need to be doing. Also, I put down guidance, ways to understand something. Because there's a lot of things. I get where I can't watch the news anymore. I can't understand all that negativity of things people do to each other. I mean, it's hard for me. Pray for wisdom. And pray for to be reverent or respectful or fearful to God. Because to say who He is. And sometimes you pray for help for yourself. And pray for help for others. Or any other things you think we could go to on this? Yes, ma'am.
We're commanded to pray for our leaders and our government that rule over us.
Very good.
Okay, now we're going to go to the right side over there. Question number one. What is the contextual concern about public prayer, and how do we struggle with it? First of all, I want to touch on something that really has, I don't think, anything to do with the question, but leading a prayer in public is hard. Because you got three audiences. You got yourself, you got God, and we both know what we're going to say, but then got everybody out in the audience. And just like how Joel did so well on the introduction to his lesson the other night, how he gave a little, you know, no gain. Thank you. I knew it was there somewhere. And how well he got and invited us to what he was thinking about. But in a prayer, almost you're not have that ability to give an analogy of what you're trying to get into. And I think it's very difficult. And you hear men doing prayers all the time just so good at it. Impresses me on my heart how prayerful and how insightful they are. But I think it's a hard thing to do, what I'm trying to get across. Okay, and the question, I think it more do, we don't, you get up here and you get the pressure, you don't want to be like whom? The Pharisees. You don't want it to be about you. You want to be about whom? God. And sometimes, and you're including everybody in this room, if you're saying a prayer and you're trying to lead them in their thoughts on this area. Of course, you know, there's many different ways of saying it, but you want to give Him honor. You want to give God the power at that moment and showing trust you have in Him if you ask for petitions on your behalf or someone else's behalf. And of course, the situation, whether it's in the beginning of the service, middle, or the last, is a whole different situation. And is there a verse in the Bible that tells you just how they exactly did it and how many prayers they had? And we'll discuss that more in a moment. There's not. But there's examples of what they did in their prayers. Surely there's another thought on this one. No one? Yes?
The thing about the Pharisee, in his self-centeredness, like you say, he made that prayer all about himself. And there is a sense in which we make it about ourselves too, but in the very opposite. When we're praying to God, there's a time for self-examination. The things that are in our life or in our heart that are contrary to Him, that's when myself, I really see myself. We're trying to see ourselves as God sees us. And that's the time to get close to Him and to ask for forgiveness and try to do better. But the two extremes there, the Pharisee, it was all about himself. And any time we pray to God, I think we need to look at ourselves and what's in our life and anything that's there that's contrary to Him, acknowledge it and ask for forgiveness.
Very good. Anyone else on this talk? Yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I immediately dismiss those people who lead public prayer that decide that they're going to pray for 10 or 15 minutes and show everyone how articulate they are. And if you can listen to those prayers and listen to the prayers that they prayed the last time they were there, they're almost identical.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught to pray for what's on my heart and what's on the heart of other members of the congregation, especially those people who are suffering. And there were many comments made about what should be included in a prayer earlier. Of course, those need to be addressed as well. But I think you can get in and out of public prayer rapidly and still do the things that you need to do. I think this whole lesson here is based on the fact that there's a comparison between two prayers, public prayer and private prayer, and which one God admires the most.
Wow. Very good. And we'll get more into the private issue of it and so on in just a moment. Okay, number two. How is the Father in secret? Yes, Hill.
He knows your heart and He knows your needs. And when you're talking to Him, He's considering only you.
Okay.
And what you're asking Him for.
Good.
When it's a public prayer, He's considering everybody concerned.
Good. It's just you and Him, correct? And He's going to know if you're going to be honest with Him, with your heart, with yourself, and what you have going on. It's time to honor Him. And maybe think and better understand who God is. I can't help to think, the fear of the Lord. And I'm not, of course, I'm not talking about I'm scared of Him. It means respect Him. More I try to, as you get older, I think wisdom comes to you because you see things happen in life and you go, wow, there is a God. There's many different ways of looking at that. But it's your time to honor God, your time to show your trust in Him, and maybe better understand who He is. Maybe not who He is, but where He is above you. And you can help benefit yourself, prayers, and you can help prayers to benefit others who may be having trials and sickness and so on. Anyone else? Boy, it's a quiet bunch. Number three. What is the benefit of private prayer? No distraction. Yes, Eugene.
It gives the individual an opportunity to talk to God in a way that he wouldn't in a public prayer for the whole congregation. It gives him an opportunity to pour out his mind to God about a lot of things that he might not want to talk about in public.
And should not. You know, for the most part. You know, it's between you and God, and to think through it and show your trust in him. Anyone else on this?
We take our burdens to God, and we know when we go to God, and we give it to him, we feel relieved. We've gone to him, we've given it to him. And then people that just bear that burden on themselves, and just, it just worsens if they can't give that to God. And in our prayers to him, whether it be something that we need, something that we worry about, or something that we pray for someone else, if they get better in their health, it's really, I mean, he is really the one we go to.
Well, there are times where I look at people that don't believe in God, and how do they make it? But at the same time, I look at myself sometime, I start trusting on my ways, and don't go to God with it. And I know, like you said, it's a lot more relieving, peaceful, if I go to God with my problem instead of relying on myself or someone else in this world. Yes, Sheila?
One thing that we need to remember, when we ask of God, we know he's going to, we don't doubt, we know he's going to answer us one way or the other. So whatever we ask him, we have to be ready to have him answer it.
Right. And it may not be the immediate. It may be down the road. And you look back and you go, wow. I'm glad it didn't go the way I was praying it. Also, number three is a time to meditate. And to me, maybe practice words to better honor God or better describe God in your heart, to make him exalted, to make him above you, so you'll have more of a trust in him, and a vocabulary to better understand the greatness of God. Because we can get our own little world, at least I can, and forget who he is. And again, I rely on myself too much. Anyone else on three?
Sometimes we don't know exactly how to say what's on our heart, too.
Right.
But we have an intercessor who can take those petitions to God.
Very good. Very good. And also in three, we don't have to guard our thoughts, do we? We don't have someone we're putting, we think, pressure on us that's going to judge us. But we'll look on the weakness of someone sometime. We have no reservation because we don't have an audience there, just you and God. And above all, I think what you receive more than anything when you go to God and lay everything out, what do you get in return? Peace. The peace of God just takes over. And I can't explain that. Just the peace of God. Because you're trusting him, you're having faith in him. Questions over three, or any other thoughts? Number four then, make a list of attributes that are necessary to obey this command. What?
You have the right heart.
Good. Right heart.
Take
time for it. Good.
You got to have faith, because if you don't have faith, what good is there in praying privately? So that maybe works both ways. If you don't, if you have a weak private prayer life, then maybe that's a reflection on your faith as well.
Good. Yes, sir.
There's a song in our book called Others. We need to have a definite thought about others. Get away from ourselves for a few minutes and think about the problems that others have.
Of Because I know, from my standpoint, when I do pray in private, I've gone from here, my me bubble, to here. And who's become bigger? God grows where I look unto Him for His wisdom and also look to others that promote me to pray for others. Any other thoughts? There's no distraction. Find you a private place or a time. And this is where the respect and reverence for our God comes in. And you get to honor Him by asking Him and petitioning your thoughts. And again, I'll reflect back on David Osteen's speaking out loud. It did a lot for me. Made me feel like I was really involved than before. Any others? Okay, now we're going to five. In your life, is the emphasis on public prayer or private prayer? Do you see one as more important than the other? Is one more meaningful than the others? All right, let's do the first part. Is your life, in your life, is more emphasis on public or private? Private. More than private, than public, correct? Okay. Because what should happen in a private prayer? Okay. What about times or how often? Right, your frequency. Again, it may be for a meal, it may be going to bed at night or getting up in the morning or... So on. Yes.
You know, public prayer is just not standing behind the pulpit. It's being at the hospital, ministering to those that are sick, or just a complete stranger that you recognize the fact that they're struggling. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, it can be just as comfortable doing that with people that you've never met before.
Right.
And there's an impact that you can sort of have on their lives if they care. You know, do the right thing and pray for God themselves.
Brandy, I believe.
And your personal prayers can be just that, a lot more personal and more intimate than your public prayers can be, because you're not worried about what others are going to hear about you.
Does someone else have their hand back over there? Guess I'm dreaming that. Okay. Of course, it's going to happen more times. And each time you pray, you should try to fit the situation or your prayer toward the situation and time that's, you know, for what the needs are and so on. Like for a meal or going to bed or getting up in the morning and so on. Questions? Number 6, from Matthew 6, 7 through 8, what are the meaningless repetitions of the Gentiles which were not to, we are not to be alike? How does this correlate with the Luke 11, 5 through 13, and Luke 18, 1 through 8. First, let's go ahead and turn to Luke 18. One through eight. Now he was telling them in a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart saying. Of course, that's the introduction to what's going to be said here, the message. In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect men. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from the opponent." For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect men," verse 5, "yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she wears me out." And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring justice for his elect who cried to him day and night, and he will delay long over them? And I will tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth. What is the message of that story? Go ahead. Okay. Martha.
And basically repeated prayers, asking for the same thing again, fervently. Christ prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane.
True. Very good. Of course, repetition, we're not talking about vain repetition. We're talking about, because the more you repeat, the more it's a desire, something really on your mind, something really on your heart. Anyone else? Luke 18, 11, excuse me. Luke 11, 5 through 13. Then he said to them, suppose one of you have a friend and go to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me for a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Verse 7. And from the inside he answered and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut. My children and I are in bed, and I cannot get up and give you anything. I will tell you, even though he will not get up and give you anything because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give you as much as he needs. What's the message of this one? Do what?
Pretty much the same thing.
Right, the same message. Be a persistent, because you know and I know, like you have a child, they come and ask you for something, not now, if they come again, what does that mean to you? It's important. But if they just come one time, it's just there and it's gone, okay? But if we keep asking, we'll be asking again and again, that means it's heavy on our heart and we really do need it. Okay? We're going to skip 7 and we're going to go to 8. Where do the scriptures teach us we are to pray in our public worship assemblies? Of course, there's not a command, it's just an inference there we read from the scriptures. I have here 1 Timothy, chapter 2. First of all, then I urge the entreaties and prayers and petition and thanksgiving to be on behalf of all men, for kings who are in authority, so you may be lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. I'm going to stop right there, talking about what are there, the petition and so on, for prayers. And if we'll go back, I meant to do 1 Corinthians first. I skipped over it because a portion here that 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 40. Do all things be done in a properly... be done properly in an orderly manner. In other words, orderly manner where everybody has a use of the rhythmic of the class and of the worship and so on. Now I go to Acts 2. Running out of time. Acts 2, verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking bread and to prayer. There's a word that we use. It was found in 1 Timothy, supplication. What does that word mean? Something we don't use often. Supplication.
Request.
It's a very strong request from God is where it's very sincere, very, very strong.
Very earnest.
Yeah.
Almost to the point of, some people call it begging, and you know what I mean, within control of that. But means earnestly asking, petitioning God what you want. Very honest with it also. Okay? Acts 12. Acts 12, verse 5. So Peter, was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. And then we go down to the verse 12 of the same chapter. And when he realized, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary and the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Okay? Now, let's go to the ninth question here. Are you into thoughts on eight? Why do public prayers become so formal when our private prayers do not? If we are able to be ready to speak of an emotional nature of private prayer. Tick, 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 tick.
Well, I can say this as a woman because we get together as women, and in ladies' Bible class, we take turns praying. So we have public prayer also, just not in the church. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to pray publicly for what I feel other people have needs and thoughts that we discuss, everyone that's having problems, and then we do a prayer. And I try to, other people pray too, not just me, but I try to pray about all the different things that are on different hearts. So you are doing what you said. You're reaching out to everyone around you, trying to bring up before the Lord a lot of our concerns. And then privately, I don't know, this may be wrong, but it's more about my concerns and my weaknesses and the thing I want to glorify God in. He's answered my prayers in a lot of ways, and I want to give him glory for that. So it is different. Although I do believe when you're praying publicly, even when we're in our women's groups, I'm praying what I'm feeling in my heart. I'm not saying a prayer that's set out to make everybody happy. I'm praying for what we've discussed that's in my heart. And I know it's on other people's minds, too.
Good. Anyone else? Yes, Mr. Paul.
Leading a public prayer, you're trying to cover everybody in there and the work of the church, praising God and everything. But the other thing is you can think 10 times faster than you can speak, and so we should be adding things. If we say, bless so-and-so, you could add 14 more people to it. And you ought to be adding things to it. And the leader is just trying to direct some thoughts and cover things for the entire congregation.
Good morning. Thank y'all.